Yummy! Carlo, what's for dinner?
Oh, my mom made us rice and beefsteak.
Oh, it sounds so good.
What about for me?
What do you mean?
Where's my milk?
Oh, milk?
Yeah, milk. I'm hungry too.
Milk?
Yeah, milk.
Milk like a drink with your dinner, right?
No, just milk.
Just milk.
I guess you can put chocolate in it if you want.
You can't just have milk for dinner. You need to eat the rice and the beefsteak too. You're gonna get hungry, Renee. Milk is just for babies. We haven't had milk for dinner since we were kids. Aren't you about to be a senior in high school? My gosh, why just milk?
I mean, I guess we can go make hamburgers and hot dogs or something, but really, Renee, who just drinks milk for dinner?
Well, I do. I think I want to be a kid forever. I really like milk. I don't want to grow up. I don't think I need solid food.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for our youth. Thank you, Renee, Carla, and Jenny, and all the other youth for participating for the youth service. They worked on that yesterday. They wrote that yesterday. They're just a wonderful, blessed opportunity to have them all this year, whether it be going to graduation, NCH, DVBS, camp, going to graduation again, praise nights. It's just been a wonderful opportunity to be blessed in their presence. Young people have such a joyful heart, a desiring heart. So we thank the Lord for them. I was going to title this sermon, where I was going to title The Hidden Mystery of the Inner Man. I was going to title this sermon, Time to Eat Meat. And if you heard that passage, that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And what they're depicting up here was Renee, of course, for dinner, she wanted to drink milk. That's not talking about just growing up physically, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, but that we need to grow up spiritually. That we need to stop drinking milk, so to speak, and really to start eating solid foods. That really to grab and understand the deep, substantial things that God has for us. So I opened up to Ephesians chapter 3. It's a wonderful passage. So if you can turn open your passage to Ephesians chapter 3, it talks about literally the hidden mystery of the inner man. And while you turn to that, I'll continue to pray for you. Lord Heavenly Father, we just ask that you open our hearts and our minds, that you grant us a sense of wisdom and revelation that we may know you more. May we long for you. May we desire you. May our spirits realize that we are lovesick from those words of the psalmist. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for hearing our hearts. In the wonderful name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, as you turn to Ephesians chapter 3, we will read Ephesians chapter 3, and I will talk about where you'll see the word mystery four times, and I'll talk about the inner man and what the inner man means. This is a wonderful understanding. We need to understand that we are victorious in Christ. We really do. I'm not talking about people in general. I'm talking about Christians. That we are truly victorious in Christ and not defeated. The enemy's really good, I'll be honest with you, because he's out to get you like a prouncing lion to come get you. But I tell you what, this is a wonderful passage. If you leave anything here, I hope and pray that you understand that you are victorious in Christ. The passage, of course, that they read, or that they did the skit from, is 1 Corinthians, and it shows up here on this PowerPoint, chapter 3, 1 through 3. It says, brothers and sisters, before we go to Ephesians chapter 3, brothers and sisters, believers, that is, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. And that's a small s. That's very imperative we understand what this small s and big s is. We live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Again, that depiction of that is to help us understand we need more. Our spirit desires more. It really does. Once you understand the cross, there's a lot more, a boundless riches endless riches that comes across. It really does. And I'm hoping and praying that you understand this hidden mystery through your inner man. Now, the two questions I'd like to beg, if anything, before we get into Ephesians chapter 3, right before we read it, is what is the inner man? These are the two questions. What is the inner man? And what is the hidden mystery? What are those two things? If I believe you can grasp this, I really believe you'll start to realize that you are victorious, that you are not defeated, that you will not live your life slumped down all the time. So even though we act like it, deep down there's just almost carnal, our carnal flesh, our bodies tend to contradict, as it says in Galatians, contradict what God has given us. It's just a natural thing we do. We contradict what God has given us. It's normal. It really is. It's our sinful nature. Now, let me read Galatians chapter 3, so follow with me. I'll be reading from verse 1, verse 19. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, I'm sure you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. What is God's grace? Well, this is what it is. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. It was not made known to the people of the other generations as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles and the heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus, became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, boundless, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God had been made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering to you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before you. Here's Paul praying for you. This is a powerful part of the inner man. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with what? His power through what? His Spirit, big S, in your inner beings. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, have power together with all the Lord's faith. Grasp how wide, how long, how high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, may be filled with all fullness. Now, this is the passage, Ephesians chapter 3, where I title The Mystery of the Inner Man. Not because of the name I made up. These are the words that are in this particular passage. Inner man, the inner being, the man within. Mystery. And it's sort of hidden. The hidden mystery of the inner man. Now, Pastor D spoke last week and preached a wonderful passage from 1 Samuel chapter 3. And here, Samuel, the young man who's being brought up by a priest, hears a voice three times. He hears God's voice, audible, actual voice. His eminent presence is there. And a wonderful lesson that we learn and shows up here is we must be attentive to God's voice so that when he calls us, we can hear him. A wonderful lesson. This is powerful. And then Pastor comes back and shows that we need to be obedient. There needs to be obedience in this. Here's my question that we have for ourselves, because people have asked me, well, I've never heard God's voice. But besides being obedient, of course the question will come up, people start to question God because they've never heard God. I don't know when his calling is. That's what we need. This is something that beyond our carnal self. This is beyond our cognitive thought. This isn't something that, well, let me think about how this works. This isn't even you working. It's God working in you. Now, we have to understand, here's some verbiage, some terms we have to understand. Big S, small s. If we look at this diagram up here, we see the big S spirit. The column going down, of course, on the left, is the spirit, the big S. The middle column is the small s, and all the way to the right is the soul. So everything on the left column, what you have is the spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. It's not some power that God has given. It's not just a power. It is God Himself. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. That's the big S. Now when you start reading, and I'm going to refer to this quite a bit when I preach today, so make sure you do your best to memorize if I'm going to say the carnal, if I say the big S, the spirit, the large capitalized spirit. It's very important to understand. The small S spirit is called the inner man. The man from within. The one that we don't really hear about at all. We're not very familiar with. Even says in Galatians, it's contradicting. It contradicts the Holy Spirit. That is your carnal flesh. That's where the third column comes in, the soul. As you see down at the very bottom, you see these sort of Greek-looking words, pneuma, matikos, and psyche. You hear this word psyche, like psychics, right? Your mentality, a lot of you nurses, psyche. Pneuma, you hear this, like when you get pneumonia. It's like a breath. The Holy Spirit, we believe He's there, but He's kind of like breath. We can't see Him. Matikos, it's the same thing. But if it's small S, you'll see this over and over in English. You'll see the S, spirit, small, and S, large. And all the way to the right, you see soul, you see the sinful nature, the body, the carnal flesh. I haven't achieved all of this, I'm telling you this right now, but we live mostly on that right column. Our flesh, our thoughts, sinful nature, the body, and so forth. And Paul says right here, you need to pray. Here's the key thing. Have we ever prayed as such? In Ephesians chapter 3. I pray that the Holy Spirit may empower you in your inner man. You're not really familiar with it. I'm not really familiar with my inner man. It's hard to understand. It really is. But this is powerful because it's very important that God says you must worship in spirit and truth. This must be imperative to go to church, talk to God. This is something that God seeks, He says. He desires this. You must know your man. So as we look at that middle column, I hope and pray that you understand the difference between the three, because I'm going to go around. So here's the thing. Here's my concern. What does the Bible say, and how does it address this inner man? Many passages. This is really important for us because this is getting the meat. No longer are we drinking milk. Now we want meat. Like that skit shows. I want the deeper, substantial things that the Lord has for us. I want to hear it. I want to see it. I want to know what this is. Because I'm living my life, going to church on Sunday or whatever it may be, and there's a time where a lot of us feel defeated. I'm telling you, victorious in the Lord, we really are. But here's the problem. Here's the concern. Two passages. First passage, Matthew 26:41 says that we are unwilling. This is God's word. We are unwilling. Your natural tendency is not to do this. It's not to pray to the inner man. This is very powerful to understand. It says here, the spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. This is the big S. The Holy Spirit is willing to dine with you, to fellowship with you. He wants to let you know that you're victorious and He loves you dearly. But your flesh, your carnal flesh, remember that third column? Your body, your psyche, it's not willing. It's weak. This is normal, so don't think, oh, I am. No. It's just letting you understand how you think and how we process throughout the week. This is powerful. You see, the Holy Spirit, this is the big S. He didn't even talk about the small S. So he's saying, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he goes off to Galatians chapter 5. He says, the second thing is you're contradicting. It contradicts the Holy Spirit. your flesh contradicts the Holy Spirit. It says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, the big S, the Holy Spirit, and you will gratify the desires of the flesh. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary, what is opposite. Your flesh is always desiring what is opposite of what God has for you. And then you go, oh, I can't go to church, I feel bad. No. Hey, look. You have a sinful nature within you already. I'm not justifying saying, go ahead and do bad things. You're going to do bad things, I guarantee you, tomorrow. It's just the way it is. Your sinful nature is going to do that. But if you can understand that your spirit is willing, and the Holy Spirit is willing, you'll start to realize, wait a minute, I am fixed for this. No wonder I think, no, wow, I'm not always doing well. More than ever beside you, person to your left, right, behind you. We're all struggling through this. This is just an acknowledgement of what's going on. First of all, you're unwilling. That is your flesh, your psyche. Your soul is unwilling. And it's also contrary to what the Holy Spirit has. They are in conflict with each other so that they are not able to do, or not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So again, now we know what we've identified the inner man. It's a small s. Something within you that you're not really familiar with. Not of a very familiar. That's why he said, I pray. So I ask you to pray. Pray tonight. Pray right now. Going, Holy Spirit, help me understand. I'm praying for my inner man. I've been praying for my inner man for the last 2 hours. It's coming up. I really have. I pray the inner man that's in you. The inner man. Help me understand. Help me understand you. Help me convey what I'm supposed to convey, your message in Ephesians chapter 3 to your people. Help them understand that they are not defeated, but they are victorious. I pray now for their inner man that they may understand you, that they may dwell with you, that they may fellowship. I'm not talking about the flesh. Because your flesh right now is trying to think. It's cognitively trying to go, okay, wait a minute. What are you saying? What are you talking about? Let me doubt or question this inner man right now. You're trying to be contrary to what God's word is saying right now. You're thinking. You're processing. I can look at it. If I had each and every single one of you look in the eye, you're processing. Lord, can you follow me? Pray. Just pray, Holy Spirit. Empower my inner man. Help me understand. Let me encounter. I'm not talking about, this is not about salvation. There's many of you who have accepted Christ Jesus. This is a great and wonderful opportunity. Salvation is very important. A lot of you have already accepted Christ. This is going into the deeper, substantial understanding of the sitting this that we're talking about. This is God's word, not me. I'm not making this stuff up. This is what God said. Your inner man is powerful. He's saying you're contrary. You're unwilling. So pray for it. He says, pray. Pray for your inner man. Why does he want to do this? What's so important in understanding what the inner man is? As you see up here in John chapter 4, it's been through. Before it said this, yet a time is coming, has now come. And true worshipers, these are the true worshipers, worship Father in spirit and in truth. Two things, this is powerful. Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. He's seeking these people. This is what he's desiring. He's coming after these people. God is spirit. And his worshipers must. They cannot just do half. They must worship in spirit and in truth. So here's what you think, spirit and truth. This is powerful. It really is. I hope you feel really powerful, not defeated on it. But the truth is what we understand as the Bible. This is a powerful understanding. The truth we've read, we read, we use our psyche on this to understand the truth. Obedience, sacrifice. Loving the Lord, we're reading this. This is the truth. We read it every day. I hope and pray you read it every day. If you don't read it, God bless you. I hope you pray at least once a week, once a month, whatever it may be. And God just moves you to read His words. This is the truth. This is how you're supposed to worship Him. Not what Pastor Rick says. Not what this pastor says. But what this says. Okay, that's the truth. The other aspect is spirit. You must understand your inner man to worship Him. Do that part because we need to understand that other half. We need to dwell with the Holy Spirit from our inner man. And if this is the first time you've heard this before, just say, Lord Jesus, control my inner man. Deliver these sins. Make that a lifetime prayer for you. This is your life verse. Make this your life verse. Help me understand my inner man, my inner being. This is different than Mathicos. This is different than Newman. This is the Psyche. He said, it specifically says the man from within, which is your inner man, something that we're not familiar with. The enemy loves to hide this. I think this is really, really powerful. This is a time that's come. And I think I preached last month on this. One thing God desires of us. Psalms 27:4. There's one thing. Everything else He asks us to do. But one thing He desires when you walk through that door, that you impact His heart, that you love Him. When you love Him, I don't even do it with you. We talk about this over and over. We hear this all the time. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. There's times where my life is just a wreck. In the sense that all the things in life is happening that's bad. Tragedies happening. Certain things are just not doing well. But God gives within my inner man, I can't explain this, this peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't understand it. But that's how you have to understand it, is to do your inner man. Not through your cognitive thoughts. Not through your body, which is a sinful nature. There's a lot that has to go. This is huge. That's why I keep saying you must pray intently. You have to sit down and go, I'm going to pray for the inner man, right? But intently. You have to be intentful about doing it. You have to be intentive. So the inner man is very important to understand. So the hidden mystery of the inner man. We've identified it. We've noticed that we do have concerns about it. The Bible says there are concerns, right? You're unwilling. It's contrary. Paul says pray for it. We've identified it. And of course, he says God seeks it. God is seeking that. He's not seeking your sinful nature. He's seeking your spirit. Genesis 2:17. You've been given this breath of life. That's what he's seeking. Until the sinful nature comes, until sin came, has come in, everything else has fallen apart. So now we go, so what should we do? We should identify, recognize the concern, know that the desires that we should see. So we pray for the inner man, see the Holy Spirit. So we have this fullness. The second question is, what is the hidden mystery? What is this hidden mystery that we referred to? Now look to Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to read this for you, if I may. I'm just going to exposit it, bring forth what God's Word says. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of the Gentiles, I identify with Jesus. Surely you have heard about the initiative of God's grace. You know about this. What is this? Verse 3 says, someone's begging, what is this? That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. In verse 5 it says, which was not made known to the people of the generations, this has now been revealed. Now in the Old Testament, the mystery was not made known. It's a twofold perspective. The first understanding of this is the revelation of Christ Jesus, the final sacrificial act. You see up there. I hope and pray we understand this is the cross. That Christ Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Revelation of Christ Jesus. In the Old Testament, they didn't have these, it wasn't known to them. If they sinned, if they did wrong, they would get a sacrificial lamb or some sort of animal, depending on what time sacrifices it, and they would sacrifice it. They would kill it. So that their sins will be cleansed. But God comes down as Christ Jesus and says, the final sacrificial lamb is me. I am it. I'm the high priest. You want to speak to God, who's Christ Jesus, as it says in Hebrews, He is the high priest. Most of us should be familiar with this. This is powerful. You cannot get past the inner man if you don't understand the redempting understanding of the cross. I believe many of us understand the cross. That Christ died for your sins. Not only did He die, but He rose again, but not only did He rise from the dead, He ascended into heaven. If you believe, accept, and confess your sins, of course, you will understand that you are sealed, redemptive understanding, chapter 1. Go to heaven. It's relatively not simple, but it's very, very deep. It's the backbone of what Christianity is. That's what he's saying. He's saying this is a mystery not known, it's a revelation not known to the people of the Old Testament. They didn't have final sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Here's where it gets a little bit deeper. For those who have accepted Christ Jesus, you feel defeated. For those who go to church, then you feel better a little bit later. It says, number two, that the hidden mystery of this is the revelation of Christ's boundless riches in the Holy Spirit. If you look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, although I am less than least of all the Lord's people, this grace, this unconditional love, was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. Boundless. That's a key word. When I read this every year, I pass over like, oh, it's the riches of Christ. But this is boundless. I looked at other versions. It's endless treasures, unfathomable riches, immeasurable, untraceable riches of Christ. This is wonderful. I don't get it. Christ is pouring out his love to you every bit right now. And you are not defeated. Even though your carnal flesh messes up over here. I heard a young man a while ago talking about, you know, God still loves me even though I keep messing up. You are that guy too. I guarantee you just had the courage to say it. Every day we stand just like that man and go, oh, I guess I'll go to church. Even though I feel defeated, that's your simple nature over there. Your spirit deep down within is going, thank you. I could see. Oh, wow, that's boundless. That's unsearchable. But the problem is we're so much over here. 99.9% of our life, I guarantee you, is spent on this side of our psyche. We're cognitively thinking. Even right now, we're thinking. Not doing it in faith, going, hey, you know what? I want to reach this. I want to understand the inner man. I want to know what that is. I wanted the deep understanding. I want to eat meat. I want the solid foods. I'm tired of drinking milk. Somebody wants to argue with me and get mad at me? Says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Pastor, you're not that smart. You think what you're saying is wrong. I'm going to quarrel with them? No, my sinful nature will quarrel with them, as it says. When I'm a mature Christian, I go, they slap me across the face and say, you're an ugly young man. We don't like you. We don't like what you speak about. You know what my soul says, my spirit says over here? Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Oh, whatever they're doing to me, don't worry. If you understand the boundless riches that God has for you within, that 0.1%, 0.001%, it's boundless. It's unsearchable. You understand this? This is huge. This is huge. You're saying, Pastor, that I don't understand. I don't understand this. I live most of my life over here, just like you. I do. You're like, no, I don't. You do. Let me tell you why. Because before you read Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says in Acts 19, look up here on Acts 19 what he says. This is huge. You don't have to turn to it. I have it up here. Acts 19 says, this is huge. This is Paul writing to the Ephesians. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's saying, you're living over here. You're a saved group of people, but you're living over here. You don't know that you're victorious. You act defeated because you think you're defeated. Now watch what he says. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul was somewhere else. Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. He's going to the Ephesians. Now he's speaking to the Ephesians here. Here's what he says to them. Before he says all the whole inner man stuff, he's going to ask them a question. Go, okay, who are you people? What have you received? He says this. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? This is not contrary to what your belief is, your understanding. So listen to what he says. They answered, no. You have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. This is a good thing. This is the cross. This is salvation. Verse 4. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied the spirit of gifts that are meant. Hear that? Verse 4, look at it. It says that. Paul said John baptism was baptism. Now, if you were at the retreat, wonderful preacher preached, and I believe what he had said. He said, when you believe in Jesus Christ at the cross, the Spirit is sealed upon you like a seal. It's covered until the day of redemption. Now, when we accept Christ Jesus, and we're sitting over here, 99.999% of our life, you feel bad that you did something wrong. So you repent and say, Lord, I am so sorry I did that. That is wrong. I love you, and I want to go to heaven. As a result, may you forgive me of my sins. This is a good thing. And then he says, yes, you are now saved. But not now. When you turn 88 years old, then when you die, then you'll go to heaven and you'll see the glorification. But you have received the baptism of the repentance. You've repented. So we live our life. We do wrong again. Go back over here. You do it wrong. Yes, I forgive you. Oh, I love you so much. But your spirit over here, there's just some people call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people call it second receiving of the Spirit. However you want to receive it, there apparently are two different understandings here for two different times. One of the baptism of repentance, one of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit finally touches your small s spirit that is hiding and collects, you ever heard Song of Songs where the soul is in the man, Solomon saying, I run around the mountains. Where is that? Where's that spirit of yours? The Holy Spirit is desiring that little small spirit of yours. All is saying, you are saved. You are going to heaven. You shift this 99%. You go over here. You will understand the balance of riches. You will. There will be a peace that surpasses all understanding. This is powerful. This is not you doing. This is God doing. This is powerful. Let me read to you, if I may, some of the gifts of the Spirit. This is powerful. Romans, 1 Corinthians, and Ephesians. It's going to be hard to turn to one for that time. But let me read to you. You've probably heard many of these. Here at church, we do one wonderful things. We serve. We teach properly. We exhort. We encourage people, that is. These are gifts. People have great gifts. Giving. Some people are wonderful leaders. Right? There's mercy. Some people are so merciful. There's people within this church so kind, so merciful. People have words of wisdom. You might post it up on the blog or something. Word of knowledge. People here have this wonderful gift of faith. Distinguishing spirits. There's some other ones. Worship the Lord in this spirit. Some of these gifts that he talked about, they're gifts. You really believe in this. How about gifts of healing? I mean, complete healing. Not just cancer, but right in front of your face. I believe. I really do. Whether you're in a wheelchair or whatever it is, if God wants to touch, I really believe he will touch. No question. I don't know when. Again, that's a small percentage that we deal with. I'm telling you, he's saying, you would not spend much time with prayer. You hear what he says in Ephesians chapter 3? Paul says, I pray that you may receive the power and the spirit of your inner being. I'm not just saying pray, Lord, help me. In 2 Corinthians, that I'm a new creation. The old has gone. The new is gone. Try this. Don't pray. Okay, don't read. You want to take this challenge? Just don't tell anybody. It's not a public thing. It's not a public thing. It's a fast. If you want to fast for food, that's fine. In the Old Testament, they fast for food because that was a necessity. This is what I want you to fast for. Christ. 99% of the time you're over here, unless you go to work and you have to deal with computers. Remove 40 days. 40 days. Boom. 40 days. No internet. Unless you have to work. You're an engineer. You're a nurse. You have to work. I'm going to CC. No TV. Fast on that, 40 days. See what happens when you start praying over here. See what happens. See what happens to you. If you remove the psyche, you have no other choice. Start really deep down understanding that spirit. I'm telling you, you'll start to understand the boundless riches. It's not all going to come in 1 second. God do whatever He does. I'm not God. But you're going to start receiving stuff that doesn't make sense. You might be able to have this mercy which you've never had before. You might be encouraging toward your kids where you never encouraged. You need the gifts. You may see miracles. You may see healing. You may have a private prayer language. It's just between the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. It makes no sense to you. But the other hand says, your soul, your inner thoughts, hold on a second. Carnal flesh is contrary and unwilling to do what the Spirit does with the Holy Spirit. And I hope and pray you understand. Really, there's nothing I can do besides you preach what I just preached. It's up to you. It's up to you to make that decision. Make that challenge. If I'm not, I do my own real fasting. I don't know what it is. But if I see you on Facebook, that most likely means you're probably not fasting. Oh, look, my whole youth group is here. What do you know? But God bless you guys if you can't fast for 40 days. Because you tell these young kids to fast no food and they get faint at school, then they get something like it. I'm not asking you to fast for food. And don't try to fast for food as adults because you want to lose weight. Oh, I'm going to fast. I want to look good. No. That's not what it's about. It's about removing yourself from the psyche. It's real. But the psyche has sinful nature. But please don't feel defeated. Please don't feel defeated. If you can tap into this, you'll realize you are boundless riches of the Lord, that you've been sealed in Christ. As I close here, I hope and pray that you understand. If you look at this depiction up here, the reason why I picked this particular picture, and I opened it, and I closed with it, was it didn't. Mystery of the inner man. You know what the inner man is. It's a spirit that doesn't make sense. Right? But when you look at the man here, you see a dog. Most of us understand the dog as a sense of peace, innocence, and gentleness, it's purity and loyalty, right? You're all familiar with the pigeon, right? If the pigeon is intimate with another pigeon, right? And the other pigeon dies. This pigeon will not be intimate with any other pigeon. It is pure. We understand. That's what a pigeon does. But if you remember in the New Testament, in Acts, where Jesus Christ ascends into heaven like God, you know that the Holy Spirit is the representative of God. I can't depict a picture. I tried. This is the best I could find. But you know what? The Holy Spirit hovers over you. He does. He desires you, loves to worship your spirit. And what he's asking for in Ephesians chapter 3 is to pray. Now, during the announcements, I didn't mean to say that. This is an announcement. Sort of goes with it. Let's pray as well. Amen. That's real. That's really deep. Will be. Because we, now, I know this is not so, it's, our flesh is over here going, that's part of life. It hurts to hear that people die. Please forgive me, we're not using people as an example. Help him understand that peace that surpasses all understanding. Because you will be in that situation sooner or later. It is inevitable that we deal with whatever tragedy. Remove ourselves from it. That if we can come in here and understand, help me understand. I'm not standing up here as a preacher. I'm not standing up here as an uncle. I'm not standing up here as a youth pat. I'm standing up here as a man just like you, going, Lord, I'm praying right now to strengthen my inner. That when tragedy happens in my life, that you may coat my heart, that you may soothe me somewhere. How do you do that? I don't know. But it's He who does it. He loves you dearly. You are saved and sealed, but He wants you to have more life. He wants you to stop drinking milk and eat solid foods and be a mature Christian. And understand this 0.0001%. I believe a lot of you guys have received that. But you God forgive me. You have. But there is more over here. It's hidden. It's a mystery that God is boundless. And the only way to understand this is God is spirit. And the only way to worship Him and love Him and spirit and truth. Now, let me pray. If you want to receive this, just be open. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you, dear. I pray as we hear the song from the inside out, as we hear this wonderful song from the inside out, Lord, that I may dwell in fellowship with you. My inner man may dwell with you. I'm going to ask everybody just to stand and rise. As I continue to pray, Lord, thank you. May we not be stagnant. May we understand this hidden mystery, Lord. May you encounter their inner being. Whoever they are, even myself, whether it be the youngest of Alex or the eldest, we truly encounter us over again. Help us understand that this is boundless. Help us understand these riches that are endless, that are immeasurable, that are untraceable. We'll open this up. They sing. If you wish to come up here, pray to the Lord and publicly declare, I want you. Feel free to come up here, just pray and worship.